Over the last couple of services, that is Sunday morning and Sunday evening of last week, we began to look at a series that we're going to follow for quite some time. It'll be interrupted by Our Being God next week. It'll be interrupted by the gospel meeting that starts the following week. We'll present it again in mid-June, and then it'll pick up in late June. You don't have to remember all of that. It's just going to be somewhat choppy, but each of the points is going to stand in and of itself. There is a parable there in Luke, There's a parable there in Luke, the 8th chapter. And while the lesson is not specifically coordinated with that, the observation there in Luke is that there were seed that fell on the good soil, and that's where the farmer intended it. But inadvertently it fell into other areas, and Jesus describes what happened to the seed that fell in those areas. And I'm simply playing off of that comparison to talk about the dangers that new Christians face. A number of people fall away after they obey the gospel, and we need to know why. Sometimes it is because of culture shock, and we talked about that Sunday morning. It's just, this isn't what they're used to. Sometimes it is the fact that there is a crisis that comes, and at that point of crisis, they fail to remain faithful. There are individuals that have counted the cost in becoming a child of God, but in fact have not counted the cost of the totality of service to Him. And that's caused some to fall away. And we talked about the fact that there is that pull that comes from those who knew them and loved them. And oftentimes that can cause them to fall away. And we talked about the fact that that pull isn't necessarily from somebody who's religious. It could be that they came from a very godless background, and those godless friends want them back in their ungodly behavior. And we talked about the first bad sin. And all of us recognize that sin is sin. But the reality is, once one obeys the gospel, especially those who are mature in age as opposed to those of us who grew up with Christian parents, and at what you might say, the time expected, we did what was expected, and we died with Christ in baptism. But there are some who come out of a very worldly background, and they come out of the waters of baptism, and they think, okay, it's going to be different now because they have been transformed. They're now going to follow Jesus. And perhaps very shortly within their journey, something disastrous happens in their behavior. And they're shocked by the fact that it happened to them. It might be something within their marriage. It might be some sin that they committed that they really are repulsed by and thought they'd never have to face that sin again. And that's what I mean by that first bad sin that just shocks them into realizing having died with Christ doesn't mean that we now get to walk in the light with no temptations before us. They'll constantly be there. And we talk also about the concern for the lost, for the loved ones that are behind them. And that's what we're going to deal with this morning. Those who are their loved ones, and what does that do in relation to them and their loved ones? How are they going to be viewed? What are they going to be thought of? How are they going to be thinking of them in these things? They have a problem. They're coming to realize that there is a question of being lost and being saved. And so one of the things that comes up in their mind is all those loved ones who are lost. That is to say, they come to realize as they study the Word, these individuals don't seem to be doing what the Word teaches. I think that one of the things as we are looking at this series, it is to allow us as more mature Christians to help them deal with these circumstances. And I think it's important that we emphasize to them, and this isn't a cop-out at all, But it's important to recognize it's not our job to whittle on God's end of the stick. It's not our job to pronounce absolute condemnations to those that we love that don't seem to have done just what we've done as a new Christian. That point needs to be a reminder to each of us. In the last couple of times in Bible class, as Charles has led the class, he stated it in a different way, but we're saying the same thing. He said, his job is to be a watchman. And that is true for each and every Christian. We're to be the watch person regarding other Christians and regarding those in the world. But as a watchman, it's not our job to say, here's what I think. They're lost, they're saved, they're lost, they're saved. That just needs to be a reminder. Now, we're going to say more about that in a little bit, but that's a legitimate reminder for us. Here's another thing that happens. They're given a number of questions. And with these questions, they're always emotional questions. They're presented in very emotional ways. And I would suggest that we would tell the new convert that the best thing to do is recognize that they're coming from an emotional perspective. And at times, some of these questions are left unanswered. It's best to leave them unanswered at that point in time. Somebody once used an illustration that I've always thought was good, and that is, and it's rather antiquated for us, I know, but you can't hang a hat where there isn't a peg to hang the hat. And so there are things that need to be done first before that hat can be hung. And therefore, some of these questions don't have an appropriate answer at the time that it's being posed to them. And that new convert needs to realize again what motivates the other person to ask them the questions. Here's some that I've thought of, and you might think of others, or you may have experienced others. They say to that one who has now obeyed the gospel and no longer is going to church with them in that other religious group, wasn't our church good enough? You see the emotional bondage that they're trying to put on them, the almost insult that's being given? That new Christian has to deal with it. And it's a heavy thing to deal with. They'll say, do you feel we're lost in our church? So the Highway 157 Church of Christ, that's a better place. But over here where we go, we're all lost. And again, this comes at the new convert, not just from one friend or family member and one church, but it could be another and another and another, and all of them being from different denominations. It can be overwhelming. And again, for those of us, and I'm saying us because I was one, for those of us who were raised by Christians who attended churches of Christ, we never got that impact from a question such as this. But many new converts have to deal with it. They're asked the question, were you lost? Well, in our church, is that what you're telling? If you're telling us that now you're saved because you went and got baptized, you died with Christ, and somehow, as you're explaining it, your baptism was different than the baptism I went through, the sprinkling we perform, the immersion we perform, now you're telling us that while you were involved in all of that, you were lost? I hope you're getting the emotional pressure this puts upon one. Is only that church going to heaven? Now, many of us hear that even as we become mature in Christ. is only that church going to heaven. On this one, I do address it early on with a new convert. And I'll address it with people in the world that ask me that question. You've never heard that out of my mouth. You've never heard that out of my mouth, I will tell them. I believe that anyone who has died with Christ and risen to walk in newness of life has the hope of eternal salvation. Now, what they do as they continue their journey may take them out of the light. And there may be individuals in other places worshiping God in God's way that I'm not aware of that doesn't happen to have a sign that says Church of Christ. And yet they're practicing and teaching the very things that you hear from me. The plan of salvation they understood and they obeyed. So on this particular question, I think you can stand up and take courage and say, it's not being taught there. I've never heard the preacher. And remember, one of the things that we talked about last week, they may not use our language correctly or the language correctly. They still may be young enough in the faith to say, I've never heard Pastor Shane say that. And of course, we know that they don't understand that I'm the preacher, I'm not the pastor. That's an important thing to remember. These are indeed questions that are difficult to deal with. Just remember, they're emotional questions, and you've got to deal with emotional questions in a timely way. Otherwise, you'll gain nothing. How can we help? The remainder of the lesson this morning will simply look at how we might be able to help these individuals. I think the concern for the lost should never end after you obey the gospel. In many instances, the convert that I've been involved with has often led to more converts to Christ within their own family or within their own sphere of influence. Because that new Christian, that new child of God, that babe is concerned about those who are lost. We don't want them to come out of the waters of baptism and sit down and dry off on the pew and become a pew potato. We want them to understand that the lost are all around us and we never give up sowing the seed of the kingdom. That needs to be clearly understood within their minds. Here's another thing. And this one can be difficult when we understand the significance of it. But it is the truth of God's Word. And that is, God will judge through the Word that's been given. We can read Jesus' words over in John, the 12th chapter. This is the New King James translation. In verse 48, he says, He who rejects me does not receive my word, has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last days. Jesus says, if you want to know what the judgment is going to look like, get into the word. And when somebody poses a question to you and the emotion has subsided so that you can now deal with it and with them, you open to the word and answer their questions. So that it is not my judgment on this question or my opinion on this question. Let's see what the word says. Oftentimes, once the emotional shock has passed their friends and their family, that new convert can ask me or whomever may have influenced them to come to Christ, they can set up a Bible study with them. Like I said a moment ago, It's happened a lot. But they need to understand that the Word is going to judge. It's not going to be a secret. On the day of judgment, God is not going to say, alright, first of all, we're going to put the Word aside. Why do I know that? Because of the honest integrity of God. He would never give us a command to be obeyed, a pattern to follow, and then say on the day of judgment, forget all of that. Here's really what I'm wanting in order to have somebody being saved. It's not going to work that way. We need to come to understand it. Another that is sometimes difficult but necessary to realize is that at death, eternity is sealed for everyone. We find that the Hebrew writer tells us there in the 9th chapter and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, after this, the judgment. There is no turning things around. As Jesus talks about in Luke, it's settled. The one who is in torment waiting for the day of judgment, the one who is in, I believe now, though in the story, it was Abraham's bosom, in the presence of the Lord in paradise, they don't get to send a message back to the living. They don't get to come back and change things. And the living don't get to do anything that will change either of them for where they are. Because it's been appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And that's something that we have to simply put our minds at peace about. We need to realize that is the reality of what's going on. How can all these sincere people be lost? Is a question that plagues even the mature at times. Even when they've been in the presence of individuals, they may be a Christian. I've been a Christian for years. And I find myself with individuals or groups of individuals who, in a bemoaning sense for me, ask, how can all these sincere people be lost? Well, the same comes for the new Christian. That day, for them, it is even a bolder question to be answered. Let the Word answer it. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, the 7th chapter, Jesus says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in the last day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. When I at times find myself asking this question, there can be a dozen passages that could come to your mind, but this one from Jesus in Matthew, the 7th chapter, is the one that comes to my mind. There are going to be a lot of very sincere people who thought they were doing the very things God commanded, and yet Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. And then he says, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Though they had just proclaimed the fact that they had prophesied, they had cast out demons, they had done many wonders in his name. Obviously those things were false. They were not with the authority of and power of God. But they believed them to be so. Sincerely believed them to be so. That's a difficult point to consider. But it's one that we have to recognize and let God's Word stand as the answer. Just remember this. All are going to be judged by the same standard. Over in Romans, the 2nd chapter, in verse 16, Paul reminds them, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men in Christ, in Jesus Christ, according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. When Paul says, according to my gospel, he is not in any way suggesting that he has a separate gospel than the gospel that was proclaimed by the writer Matthew or the writer Mark or the writer Luke or the writer John. He proclaimed the same gospel that the apostles were proclaiming. And we're going to be judged by that gospel. Does that remind you of what was said in John, the 12th chapter, verse 48? The Word is what is going to judge us. And quite frankly, let me say again, that needs to be something that gives us comfort. There aren't going to be any surprises for the child of God, the person that gets into the Word, on the day of judgment. I would suggest that you do not unload all of this on a new convert all at once, although we have new converts in the audience this morning. Understand that there are growth processes that take place in any growing congregation. In 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, Paul gives a warning to the church at Corinth. As he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal." He was frustrated with this congregation where people had the spiritual gifts. They seemed to be growing, but yet there was confusion among them. And he said, "I can't even speak to you like spiritual people. As babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with solid food." In other words, I brought you along. I didn't try to cram things down your throat that you weren't ready for. I didn't give a drink of water to a baby with a wide open fire hydrant. "For until now, you're not able to receive it. And even now, you are still not able. For you are still carnal." And then he goes on to address some other things. But the point is, we need to recognize that it is a feeding process that takes time. And we have to give it that time. And so we have to be careful. We have to also be sure to adapt the proper attitude. How you say something will be as important as what you say at times. Don't think that's not true. Let me tell you one of the most dangerous ways to communicate important things, in my opinion: texting. I have dealt with couples who texted one another, and in the texting, there's no emotion. Even if you use an emoji, there's really no emotion. What's the tone of the voice? What's the implication as it's said? All of that is lost in texting. I'm not opposed to texting. I text. But you've got to be careful, because you're not getting all the nuances of what is being done. The same is true when we do face-to-face get to talk to brothers and sisters in Christ, to babes in Christ, or to those who are lost. Now, this text that we're about to read was given from the Apostle Paul by inspiration to the evangelist Timothy, but I don't think anybody here would believe that these things are for the evangelist alone. It's for each one of us as we deal with the problems. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. What's Paul saying? You don't take a babe in Christ and talk to them with the same straightforwardness that you might in coming to talk to me or to another mature Christian. Just remember, how you say it isn't as important as what you say. We need to realize that indeed there are consequences to our conversion. Now, I would want to remind you that in all the things we've talked about, you can't lie to those around you. In all the questions that are being posed, I in no way am suggesting that you would ever lie to them. But some are just not ready for answers at that time. And to each of us as Christians, no matter how long you've been a Christian, there are consequences. What we did when we died with Christ to rise to walk with Him in newness of life does indeed have consequences that the world notices as different from what they're doing. I simply pray God that we have the ability, the courage, and the desire to help that babe in Christ deal with those problems, those questions that arise. When we get back to the lesson, it'll be in June, and we're going to talk about another problem that Christians, the new Christian, faces, and that is the pseudo-mature Christian. We hope you'll be able to be here for that lesson. We might mention that these are all posted on our website on the internet site there that's listed in the bulletin. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. In doing so, we want to consider what John says. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. How do you come to the light? How do you, if you're walking in darkness, make that change? It's by recognizing that you're in darkness. There are a lot of people out there that don't recognize that. They think they're over here walking in the light, when in fact, and the members here, you know, I always use this as the walking in the light. But they're out there walking in darkness, not aware of it. Once you're aware that you're walking in darkness, believe that Christ is the answer to that darkness. The death of Christ, that's grace. The grace of God has given us Christ's death on the cross that can bring us to the point of changing direction. That's repentance. And then confessing Christ as the Son of God and being buried with Him to, as our text says, have our sins washed away. As other texts suggest, to put on Christ. As the Roman text suggests, to die with Christ. If you've not yet done that, and would desire to, we would love to hear your confession of Christ as the Son of God and witness your burial with Him in baptism. If you have a desire to seek the prayers of the congregation on something that's a burden in your heart, we'd be more than happy to do that as well. This invitation isn't an invitation to the sinner. It's an invitation to any in the audience that needs assistance that we can provide on a spiritual level. If you'll come and have a seat at the front as we stand to sing the song of encouragement.